I just, my phone vibrates when there's a news thing, and this one says, hordes of reporters and four funeral directors converged on the Supreme Court today when rumors of Ruth Ginsburg's death hit Washington, D.C. Police are investigating to see where this started. Richard, if I were you, I'd start driving. Well, you've been delightful, and I don't want to close with personal stuff at the end. We're going to close with communion, but I start with that to say thanks for your joy and friendship and chance to be here together. It's been wonderful for Janine and me, and it's important to do things like this in life, and thank you very much. You're delightful. Yeah. People. Oh.
What he said. Except the Janine part.
You don't think she's a nice lady?
Yeah. She didn't come with me.
Oh, that's right. Okay. And thanks to Bob and the hosts here and Gary as director. Hope you can come next year. We'll have fun and we'll do some things, and I won't repeat these talks. But I am repeating this one intentionally, and people at the chapel probably don't know it, but once a year I would do this diagram with communion. And here's why. You may not be among them, but I think we took a survey at the chapel once in the early 90s, and in answer to the question, I think I mentioned this the other day, in answer to the question, how do you know you're a Christian, the answers were so weak that I decided from that day on I would never preach a sermon without explaining salvation, without saying more than just receive Christ as Savior. So deliberately and without apology, I've done that, and I don't think it gets old. It doesn't for me, but I often use this illustration, not always this way, but just what it means to that Jesus took our judgment. I just think you can't say to people, accept Jesus as your Savior. What does that mean? I understand, and I was taught that. But receive Jesus maybe is a little better word, but what is it we're called to believe? This diagram helped me, and it did help a lot of people at the chapel. I have written it on many napkins or scrap pieces of paper in a restaurant when I'm talking to people. So I'm going to go fairly fast because of time, but also I just want us to get it and take it along. You can study this or you can make up your own diagram. There's lots of them about salvation. Some of them are great, some of them are too simple. This is a theological diagram based on Romans 3:21. Would you join me there if you'd like to look in your Bibles? Romans 3:21. As a background, all of Romans is about justification in one sense and how to live the Christian life, often called sanctification, and even promises of glorification in Romans 8, before he breaks for 9 through 11 about Israel and some complicated stuff, and then how to live the Christian life in a practical way, Romans 12 through the end. But Romans 1 and 2 prove that all people are guilty by creation. One of the ones we looked at the other day, by creation itself, a person would be held guilty for not trying to see who made this. By conscience, everybody goes against their own conscience. We know that. And we're guilty because we don't obey our conscience. There's not a soul in the room that didn't break their own New Year's Eve's resolutions or your commitments to Christ at times, to obey Him always. And, of course, by our own actions, and we're guilty. Later on, he's going to say, as he sums up 9, 10, and 11 in a way for Israel, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they," listen, this is about Jewish nation, Jewish people, "I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's a summary. Christ is our righteousness. Religion is our attempting to swim the English Channel or to get to God or to cross the Atlantic Ocean. Christ gives us his righteousness. Romans 3, verse 21. And many of you know that Martin Luther made famous a verse that Paul wrote, which was famous beforehand, but he, on his knees, crawling upstairs to make penance with God, it hits him what Romans 1:17 means, that the righteousness of God is by faith. Now, they're probably calling about Ruth Ginsburg. Go ahead and talk to him and tell him it's Richard that died. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, which stands for works of any kind. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The righteousness of God is a gift. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, Romans 4:1, your faith is counted as righteousness. Whoa. And everybody said, whoa. I mean, it's just, that takes away any kind of achieving or working for righteousness. He says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. For all have sinned, there's the famous verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for our sins by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's perfect righteousness. I added a word, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. A man was dying in Akron and his wife called me to visit him. He had not been to our church, but we had minute spots on TV and he liked them because they were not hard sell. I never really invited anybody to church or asked for money. And he liked those, but he didn't like church, and his wife came to ours a few times. So I went to see him, and on the way, I said to myself, here I go. He's going to be mad that his wife sicked the pastor on him, and he was. He said, what are you doing here? And he looked at his wife, and we got through that, and we started talking about the Cleveland Cavs because he loves sports, and he was dying of cancer, and he would die in about 3 weeks. And he knew he was close. And I said, but we need to talk serious. I'll never forget the conversation. We need to talk serious because you are dying. No sense kidding around. He says, and he went into about a 2-minute discourse on how ethical he had been in a business that he ran. He ran two different businesses in Akron. I decided to take a shortcut and I said, but you have to be perfect to go to heaven. I said, That's commendable and that's great, but you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Are you perfect? He got mad. He said, nobody's perfect. That's crazy. And I said, that's right. But what if perfect is a gift? Perfect is a gift. And if you think you'll get there on your own, good luck. especially if you're married. No. Nobody will get there on their own. There's just no way to. So let's look at this diagram. It's Jesus, God the Father, and you. And if you're sitting behind a post, look over there. There was a number of people here that said they couldn't see the screens, and that's why we have two. I was just kidding. Nobody said that, but I thought it would be funny if you did. So here's Jesus, there's God, and all of these arrows come out of this passage. So I'm going to go fast because of time, but take the diagram and study it more with the verses. I think if you mark down what verses. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement, is what he says. Or a propitiation, it says in a couple of your versions. God presented Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he was making atonement for sin. And everybody that was in Old Testament, this was written to Gentiles and Jews, everybody knew what it was to put your hand on the head of the lamb, son. Put your hand on the head of the lamb. Why, Dad? Because we're showing that our faith, that we believe God is going to take atonement, make atonement for, we are making atonement for our sins. I don't know that they really understood it in the Old Testament. I don't quite get it. But when you identified with the lamb, and you did it daily in some cases, and every Sabbath, and on the Day of Atonement, and the Passover Lamb Day, you did it. There were millions, they say, thousands for sure, in the temple. When Jesus died, he was making atonement for sins, the great hinge of Old Testament to New Testament. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, all the sins of the world. And atonement means that God somehow is satisfied by this sacrifice. He cries out, my God. Don't say, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because Knut Larson's sins and yours and all the world's were on his back. He was separated for the first time in eternity from the Father, and God was satisfied. He presented him as a sacrifice of atonement for our sins. You will never pay for one of your sins. You can't. It's death. And he took a death for us. We can read ahead in our minds, and we know he's going to rise from the dead, but he was able to die because he was a true human being. From God to us, this is very important to explain to your grandchildren. This is not accepting Jesus as your Savior. Nothing wrong with that phrase, but you got to say more. And it says, and God justifies us. That's, my Sunday school teacher taught me that's just as if I never sinned. Okay, but it's more than that. That gets you to zero, just as if I never sinned. Justification is the act by which a holy God declares righteous in his sight a person who believes in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now swallow that and take it to heart, and it's magnificent. It's the grace of God whereby he declares righteous or justifies, that's what it means, everybody that studies Greek knows that, and declares us not just as if we never sinned, but just as if the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers us. Whoa! And that's, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, not our works, although the law and the prophets testify, bear witness to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. No distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. Freely means without cost to us. Do you believe this? Do you rest in this? This, you ought to try to do good. You ought to return good for evil and everything that's a standard of God, but we'll all fail every day. Our righteousness in front of a holy God is not what we did that day or that we went to church. It's the gift of righteousness from Jesus Christ. In this same passage, again, is this one for redemption. Religion, by the way, is trying to get to God. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain. That's a nice little song, I guess, but if you mean it, to get to Sunshine Mountain, to get to heaven, you're not going to climb. You'll never get there. Neither will I. If we went out here to the, we can do it if we want to, to the beach afterwards and said, let's all swim to Milwaukee. What would be straight across? Gary, do you know? 70 miles. 70 miles and anyway, part of Wisconsin, I guess. I'm not sure. But we go. So who's a really good swimmer? How far would you make it, Grant?
About 50 feet.
50 feet? Okay. Well, some of you would make it 51 or 50. And 5,000 yards, or somebody here might make it a mile if you're a really good swimmer. But, and then you die. Now, who's the deadest? And people love to say, well, I'm better than Charlie is. Charlie's somebody they made up, or a friend they know, and they're better than he is. You're always better than somebody you choose. Why not say I'm better than LeBron James in basketball? Did I tell you I taught him basketball? That's religion. Climb up Sunshine Mountain. This gospel that people don't, you know, people try in every church. Don't say it's mainline. No, baby, this is every church. There are people that think God's impressed that they're there and that they're going to earn their way. So the redemption is from Jesus to us. And again, it would take a serious listener to go through all this, but it's healthy for us to understand. And surely when you have your kids or grandkids, you can say, look at this diagram. Redemption means he sets us free. It's like he comes over and unlocks the door of the cell and we're free for the rest of our lives in Jesus Christ. And our part, it shows up four times. Look up, these are all in these six verses. Our part, and he says it four times, three are faith and one is believe, but it's the exact same word. I've had a couple people in my life say, well, I believe, I just don't have faith. As if they believe the facts, but I get that, but it's the same word. What they mean is, I believe Jesus lived and all that, but I just don't know for sure. How do you know for sure? You believe. There's not one of us that can prove we're Christians by marks on our hands or by something we feel. Nobody, okay, we all feel different things. Some of us are too logical. I am. Some of us are too emotional. Don't tell me who. But that's fine. We're all different. But the issue is this true? Did he satisfy the holy laws of God? God gave his son to be our sacrifice. Did he justify you, declare you righteous? Yes. Does Christ set us free through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus? Redemption means a slave's free. Go on. Now serve me, but you're free. And our part is to believe all this. That's what he says. We should honor Jews in our minds, never make a joke about Jews, never say you tried to Jew somebody down in business. God wants his people and he loves them immensely. And I can say very little about God's heart for Jews except by reading the Bible. But it's big. But Paul cries in 9 through 11, says, I wish they would be saved. I'd go to hell if it would save Israel, he said. Whoa. Law is unable to make anybody righteous. There's not a soul in the room or the friend you're talking to who keeps the law for a whole day. Come on, never covet. Never even think a bad thought. Jesus interpreted the law as saying, this is about what you think too. Oh, come on. We're all sinners. So this whole passage is that the gift of righteousness declares, that's the big word from the Reformation. Doesn't matter if you're Lutheran or Brethren or E-Free or any church. The Reformation, out of that came, the question was, is righteousness gradually imputed as you take communion and keep faithful to the church and take the Mass? I'm not being unfair to Catholics. They would say righteousness is infused gradually as you keep doing this. And if you quit doing it, you'll lose your righteousness. Martin Luther made famous the very strong doctrine, righteousness is declared by God. It's a gift. It's not earned. And that's what we're going to celebrate with communion. That God declares us righteous because of the righteousness of his beloved Son. That doesn't make you not want to serve him. It makes you want to serve him more because you love him. What a gift. That's what he's saying. So the sentence from this paragraph, and I'll just kind of quickly go through it. Righteousness is a gift from God. We all fall short swimming to the other side of the lake or to Paris. We all fall short of the glory of God. And most of your friends, I bet a couple of your grandkids say, well, I'm better than that guy. That doesn't count, doesn't mean a thing. And help them see that. No, you have to be perfect. You have to be perfectly righteous. God doesn't say, okay, we'll let him in, but he's a crook, or he's a liar, or he coveted, or he lusted. No, but covering all that, forgiveness, he dies in full atonement, and the origin of righteousness is from God, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness to which the law and the prophets testify, all this is all through the Old Testament. And what one thing they kept saying, pointing ahead to is the righteousness of God, and here's the law. And the law was actually meant to help people have a guideline for life, but also to be a school bus, it says in Galatians, to bring us to Jesus, to where we say, I can't keep that. I can't live my life without. And then Jesus comes along and says, it's not just murdering, it's hating. It's a perfect heart. And we all shake our heads. And so some people run away from church and religion. But Jesus, when understood right, gives his life so we could have what we could never earn on our own. And that's this wonderful thing. I think I told some of you this once, but one time at the chapel, a man came up to me in between services, and so he had to talk fast, and we were talking, and he said he had just been to a terrific memory course. I think it was at Kent State or Akron, but anyway, it was a two-session memory course, and I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, it was you identify and you remember by identification. I said, well, what was the name of the teacher? He said, what's his wife was with him. He said, what's the name of the flower that's kind of red and pink and has thorns sometimes? I said, rose. He turned to his wife and he said, Rose, what was the name? What was the name of the teacher of that court? That's not a true story. But our righteousness is about as good as that memory course, right? I mean, come on. When we celebrate communion in a minute, you're saying, I count on his body given for me on the cross. Nothing else. Be nice, keep going, serve in Christ, help the church, give your money, love people, forgive sins, but our righteousness that's perfect is a gift from God, needed by all sinners. But all have sinned, verse 23, and fall short of the glory of God. Short. There's a great little reading about up. We fall short. Everybody in the room is short compared to the call to be perfect. Righteousness is a gift. We're going to celebrate it, needed by all sinners. And the consequences of sin, you know this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The consequences, you can't be in heaven and be a sinner that's not covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that's the consequences. And four times, what does faith mean? Well, there are simple illustrations. We sat on a chair. We had faith it would work. I don't know. It gets corny. It means I believe God. And if your grandson says to you, well, I believe all that, I just don't think you can know for sure, say, what is it you believe? I like the Cubs now. I still like Cleveland, of course, but I hoped they would win the World Series. I believe they would, actually. They had a streak of 8 wins in a row, I read, but that's not believe, that's just hope. We believe that Jesus is the perfect Son and Lamb and gift of God, the Father. We believe that he never sinned as a spirit or as a human being, and that he's still both now, God the Son eternally in a body. And we believe that he gives us his righteousness. So when you take the bread and take the cup, you're saying, I'm a sinner, I need him. The bread stands for his body given on the cross. The juice stands for his blood, death, symbol of, way back in Pentateuch, it said, the life is in the blood. We all know that. Every doctor knows that now. Give him some blood, quick. And his death for us. The question is not the church first, it's faith in Jesus Christ, who forms a church so it becomes important. So, are you sure of that? And do you celebrate that? And every Sunday we say it together, but privately we should say it often. Thank you, Lord. I rest in the goodness and righteousness and perfection of Jesus Christ, who will never fail. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Historically and thankfully, that brought about the Reformation, where many people would learn you can't earn it yourself. And you can't get infused gradually and don't slip away, please, or you lose it. No, it's declared in Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to celebrate. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Let's pray. Through Jesus Christ, we come to you in his name. By Jesus Christ and his righteousness, we have confidence that someday when we die or when Christ returns, we will stand in front of you perfectly righteous because of his covering. And now we pray that you would help us live that way with confidence, with love.